You're listening to OHM Times Radio. The following is an encore presentation. Welcome to Joy of Business with host Simone Millicis, a dynamic business leader with a difference. Simone has founded and operated many businesses from a young age and has always done business differently. Today, Simone is the worldwide coordinator of Access Consciousness and travels the world presenting Joy of Business programs using access tools and empowering people to know that they can create business in a different way and make money doing it. Simone Millicis, weekly on OHM Times Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Joy of Business, and you're with your host, Simone Millicis, all the way in the Sunshine Coast, Perigean Beach, Australia. And today we're talking about women in business. And I have the lovely Chitisa Bowman. She's actually in Melbourne, Australia with me at the moment. Chitisa is the co-founder and the financial director, CFO of Life Mastery, an innovative consulting firm recognized worldwide as a thought leader and an authority on strategic awareness, innovation, and business transformation. She's an author, columnist, media commentator, consultant with a focus on connecting business transformation with future trends and innovation. She's also a director of Conscious Governance, a global advisory firm for nonprofit and society-changing organizations, providing practical advice and tools to assist nonprofit boards and CEOs to advance their governance practices from compliance to generative edge and innovative advantage. So Chitisa even owns her own antique jewelry business. So Chitisa is an awesome friend of mine. I absolutely adore her. Her and her husband, Steve and Chitisa Bowman, live in Melbourne, and I am incredibly lucky that I got to meet Chitisa about, I think it was about 13 years ago, at an Access Consciousness class in Sydney. So welcome today, Chitisa.
Thank you, Simone. So happy to be here with you.
I'm happy to be here with you too. So one of the things we wanted to talk about today was being a woman in business. Now, it's a really interesting topic because when even I say the words, it's like, what do you think we're going to talk about? Like, it's, you know, being a woman in business, having to be tough or having to be, you know, I mean, most often in business, it's like the woman is looked at as being the, you know, B-I-T-C-H, and it's like if they're at the top. Rather than how else could you be in business and what choices could you make that you haven't been willing to make? So we sort of want to explore this topic today. And I thought, what a better person to ask than Chitisa Bowman, because she's written many books. And as I read out in the bio, she's been in the business world and the corporate world for, you know, quite a while. She even used to be a model. So you're really being a woman in business. You've done many, many different things now, owning, you know, antique jewelry, et cetera. So tell me what you see being a woman in business is or can be, what the possibilities are, Chitisa.
You know, when you actually ask me about this topic, about talking about being a woman in business, I just thought, wow, that felt quite contrasted. What was that? And I realized that I've never actually looked at myself to be, whether it's a woman or ever, whether it's a man, you know, I'm just seeing myself as just doing what I enjoy to do and what I love to do. So I've never even defined myself as being a businesswoman or be anything like that. So when that topic came about, I had to sit back and think, wow, you know, I never actually thought about businesswoman and just doing business and doing something that I enjoy to do.
Yeah, no, look, I'm the same. And I said, I think that you and I have the same, I think we both have the joy of business blood running through our veins. So to us, it's just about creating. And what if it was just about creating? And what I'd like to do today too is have a look at those places that women, it's almost like they use the workforce as a justification for not choosing the life they'd like to lead. And it's like, what if it didn't matter if you're a man or it didn't matter if you're a woman? And it's like, what is that separation between women and men that doesn't have to be there? And it's like, what if it could change? And it's like, how much of that is you know, I mean, women complaining about the, I mean, we're women, so we're allowed to say this, complaining yep. about the, you know, the equality in the workplace or that it's owned by the corporate world. I mean, you actually brought my attention to Sheryl Sandberg, the CEO of Facebook.
Yeah.
And when mm-hmm. you were talking about her, I went online and I watched one of her videos. And it's interesting because she rattles off some facts and figures to begin with. And over the world, she said that there's only 13% of women in parliament, and there's only 16% in the top end of companies, and it hasn't moved since 2002, and 20% in not-for-profits for women at the top. Mm. And she's sort of saying that it hasn't moved much. But the thing is, it's like I see so many women, Chitisa, sort of, you know, up in arms doing this thing of like, why aren't we there, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, what if it was your choice?
Exactly.
It's like, what are you not choosing?
That's the conversation you and I had a number of times when we're together. It's about everything is about choices, about the choice we make, isn't it? And I wonder a lot of time if women don't make that choice to be in that position because, you know, to be in that position, you have to be willing to be greater than what you are choosing to be right now because you have to be up there making a lot of choices and a lot of decisions that if you want to choose to be in that position, you have to be willing to be that. So it's not about beating up women either because a lot of women have other interesting things to do that they don't want to be sitting on board. They don't want to be a CEO. They don't want to have to be, you know, controlling or leading anyone. But if you want to be, you know, creating that kind of position for yourself in the business world, then you have to choose to be a leader first and foremost. And a lot of women not choosing to do that. They just enjoy, you know, the life, doing what they're doing. So it's about leadership.
What's your definition? I mean, you've written a book about that too, Conscious Leadership. It's brilliant. So what's your, what's some sort of tips and tools and your definition of being a leader in your life and in business?
I think the first thing is even if you're not choosing to go into business and if you're not choosing to become a leader in any business, you have to choose to be a leader in your own life because, you know, to create your life with conscious awareness. You have to be a leader. You have to be willing to go and do and be and create everything, whether anyone else approves of what you create or not. Because the leader, the real leader, is not waiting for anyone to validate what they choose. And if we are being a leader in our own life, we have to be willing to know what it is that you, what it is that we want to create as our life and living. And a lot of people not choosing to know that. A lot of people just, you know, buy into this reality and doing and being a wife or being a mother and being, you know, a businesswoman. I mean, we all can be that, but still at the same time being a leader and choosing to create things that totally work for us, whether anyone else approves of our choice or not.
I think that's probably one of the key points there too, Chitisa. It's like whether anyone else approves or not. Because one of the things I see that most women in this reality do is always waiting for approval, whereas men will just sort of go ahead and do something.
Mm.
You know, they'll and then if they stuff up, they'll be like, oh well, gave it a shot, gave it a go. You know, that's being very Aussie the way I'm speaking right now. That's sort of the mentality. So actually, yeah. As you were talking too, though, I was looking at the, because to me, it's like, I mean, so many people define business as something. And it's like, mm-hmm. So what if you define business as that it isn't? Because it's like, what if your living was your business? I mean, that's what I talk about in the joy of business. It's like, you know, what if business was the adventure of living? It's everything. So it's like, mm-hmm. even if you mm-hmm. do have kids and it's like, you've got, you know, you are being a housewife and it's like, okay, what if that's your business? I mean, if you're in a relationship, it's like when I entered into my relationship and we bought a house, I remember at one stage I was freaking out because we were buying a house and my partner, Brendan, looked at me and he went, honey, it's just a house. He goes, we can sell it if we want. And I was like, because I was going, oh, my God, this means we have to be together forever, you know. And it felt like it took the choice out of it. But he looked at me and he went, Simone, this is a business deal. We're buying a house. And it's like, so what if you did look at that? It's like, you know, your relationship, it's dealing with the kids. It's like, do you book holidays? All of it. It's like, that's being the leader in your life and your business.
And what if our life is our business? You know, yep. Like when you're talking about the joy business, it's creating our life, it's creating a business.
Yeah, it's all the time. I mean, I take the dog for a walk on the beach and I'm, you know, I've got my phone and I'm madly writing down notes, or I've got my little speaker thing because I'm like, oh, da-da-da, I come up with all these ideas and then I'll come back and I'm really enthused about working. It's like, you know, I don't define business as it's being in an office, or it's from Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, or it has to look like a certain thing. I mean, how many of you define business as it has to be bringing in money? And it's like most people put sex and relationship in the same category, but it's not. Sex is sex, relationship is relationship, you know. It's the same thing with business and money. Business is business and money is money. I mean, most of the time you would prefer if your business actually had money showing up from what you were creating. And yet, what if you defined as business that it isn't? So everything as that is can be destroyed and uncreated. Right now, I'm talking about Pock and Pot All Nine Shorts, Boys and Beyond. Now, I have mentioned the Access Consciousness Clearing Statement. What is it? If you'd like to find out more, go to theclearingstatement.com or to my website, accessjoyofbusiness.com, and you can find out more. Basically, going to the place, the point of creation and the point of destruction of all, everywhere that, say, if you've created a point of view about business and you go, well, you've got to have a briefcase, you've got to dress up in corporate clothes, you've got to travel somewhere. I mean, you know, I'm lucky enough, I live in Pregean Beach. You live in Melbourne, and I know your husband and yourself, it's like, Patricia, you wake up and you go downstairs to the office. It's like,
yes,
we walk out, and it's like we're still in our PJs, make a coffee, and open up our computer, and that's where the office is, you know. I mean, both you and your husband and mine, we travel a lot all around the world too, but we haven't defined business as a location. It's actually what we create.
And at the same time, both of us, you and I, create so many different businesses, you know, like I have about 4 that I'm doing at the moment. One with Charlton, and doing share trading and investment, also business, and the jewelry business, and the business that I'm running with Steve. So, you know, for someone who don't see business as a common business, I'm doing 4. That's funny, isn't it?
So, and it's like, but it's possible. And it's like, I hear, so if you're out there and you're listening and you're thinking, well, I've got kids, I've got this, I can't do it. And it's like, what if you just gave it a shot? Because the thing is, it doesn't have to be definitive of a timeline either. It's like, what if these businesses you just started? And it's like, if you just start them, and it's like, and then you ask each day, ask a question, what else do I have to add to this business? And it's like, does this business require anything of me today? And you can start to notice when something shows up. It's like you have all these ideas. What if now is the time to put them into fruition? So we're going to be heading off to a break in a second. So you're with Patricia Bowman and Simone Millicis on being a woman in business. What if it was fun? So we'll speak to you soon. Thanks for joining us.
Simone Millicis would like you to know that business can be fun, which is why she wrote the book, Joy of Business. What if you could have the joy of business rather than the stress and struggle? Most of the time, the only thing stopping you from a thriving business is you. In the Joy of Business book, Simone gives you access consciousness tools and pragmatic ways to get out of your own way and to create the business, life, and living you know is possible and beyond what this reality says is achievable. Business is joy. It's creation. It's generative. It can be the adventure of living. You can purchase your copy of the book through Amazon or Joy of Business website, www.accessjoyofbusiness.com. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Welcome back, everybody, to The Joy of Business. And we're talking about being a woman in business today. And I'm with Chichita Bowman, a very good friend of mine and a very savvy businesswoman. And she's a mother and, oh, I was going to say husband, but she's not a husband, she's a wife. And joining me here, so thank you for joining me here, Chichita. You're a man and a wife, everything. You run the
business. Yes, I am.
So what else do you see that women could be choosing, Chichita, in the workforce or with their life that you see is like a running theme that maybe they're not? It's like, what tools do you have that we could offer here?
You know, the first tool that I've been living my life for the past 13 years since I've met Gary Douglas is that being the choosing one, not the chosen one. And, you know, like a lot of people tend to want to be a chosen one. And for me, I prefer to be a choosing one and not waiting for anyone else to choose me. So that's the first tool that I'm really, really recommend that for.
Can you give an example?
Any example? Well, a lot of women complain about how, you know, the glass ceiling. That's the first thing. You know, there's such a big myth about there's a glass ceiling out there. I mean, what if there's no such thing as a glass ceiling? What if we can just choose to be, do, have, create, and generate everything we want? If we function from that place that we are a creator of our business and our life, and we can choose to create it any way we like to have, then we are a choosing one. But a lot of people think, oh, I'm going to sit here and wait to be promoted, wait to get someone to come and choose us because we are valuable. And that is a chosen one. And a lot of people are happy to be a chosen one because it's like being validated for who they really are. But the key point here is, first, you have to value who you are and choosing to be the leader and value what you have to offer. Then you are choosing what you want to do. But if you don't value who you are and you expect other people to value you, then you become a chosen one. Does that make sense?
A little bit like the sort of person who actually walks in the office and goes, you know what? I'd like a pay rise, or actually creating a business. It's like coming up with an idea. And I think when you step into creating it, it's like that's when you're actually choosing it. You know, there was a scientific experiment they did years and years ago, Chichita, and they had these jumping fleas in a glass box.
Mm-hmm.
And it had a lid on it, right? So the jumping fleas could only jump, obviously, as high as where the lid was. And that's how far they would jump. And then what they did, they left it on there for, you know, a period of time. And then they took the glass ceiling off. And what happened was the fleas only jumped as high as what the ceiling previously was. So they could have jumped out. So it's like, how many glass ceilings have you created that don't even exist? And it's like,
it's
would you be willing to like...
It's delusional, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's the delusion. It's the justifications. It's all those places of blaming something else. I mean, you know, I always hear about like, oh, well, if I had these kids and it's like, and I, you know, haven't been able to do the business I really wanted to do, what if you could start it now? So what if you could destroy and uncreate all of those points of view? And it's like, you have no glass ceiling. It's like, wake up tomorrow. There's a brand new clean slate. And it's like, what would you choose? And also another great question to ask. And no one could stop
you.
Yeah,
no one could stop you. What would your life be like if you can create your life anywhere you choose? If you can create your life exactly how you would like it to be, and no one can stop you. What would your life look like when you can do that?
It'd be fun, like mine, like yours.
Exactly.
Can anyone stop you and I, Simone?
No.
Would anyone dare to ask your husband? No, but it's like, come and play. And it's like, what if your life could be way bigger? And it's like, what if you decided being a woman in business is? It's like, do you have to have a degree? And it's like, how many years of college are you meant to have gone to, or how many years of experience, or were you meant to stay in the workplace forever and ever, and it's like, and not leave and come back? And it's like, or what does it mean working for someone, or does it mean creating your own business? Does it mean, as we mentioned at the beginning, you know, being like a bully? Or it's like, what if you could actually create, being a woman in business, what if you could manipulate a lot more? And it's like, what if you could have fun with it? What if, like we said before, there was no separation between men and women? I mean, you know, we talk about an access consciousness. You're an infinite being. An infinite being can perceive, know, be, and receive everything. It doesn't mean that you're, you know, there's a separation between men and women. So, like, what choices could you be making that you haven't been making?
And I'm just wondering, Simone, whether another thing, as we are talking here, whether is it important to stop thinking as woman or man, because that creates separation already. What if you just create as you, you know, just being who you are without thinking, oh, I am a business woman. I mean, we're just thinking, oh, I am Chutisa, and this is what I'm going to create, you know, without thinking, oh, I'm a woman, I shouldn't be creating that, or something like that. So I think the key thing is when you start thinking, like, if you are a woman, therefore you can't do that, you already create limitations. Don't you reckon?
Yeah, so everything is that is, let's destroy and uncreate it. Right and wrong, good and bad, pock and pod, all nine shorts, boys and guns. I like looking at that aspect, though, too, because it's like, you know, being a woman in business is the image, and it's like, what if there was something else? What if there was something else beyond that? And it's like, so what have you been refusing to be?
And the thing is, we, you know, as soon as we say that I am a business woman, consciously or unconsciously, we buy into a model already, you know, the model of what a business woman is, and we buy into this reality that, you know, we hear in the news, like when you were saying that you read the statistics saying the women always get paid less than men, and women never get to sit on only 13% of women doing this. You already create a model about what you can and can't do. I think if we just drop that idea of either, you know, whether you are a businesswoman or you are a businessman and you're just being doing what you love to do, then you don't create limitation about what you can create and generate in your life. That's just my point of view. Like when you were saying that Sheryl Sandberg, you know, when you hear people saying, oh, women only get paid 70% of what the men get paid, but this woman gets what she worth, 800 million in her pay package or something.
I don't think it's 810 million.
810, yeah, I know. So she's definitely not paying less. It's just what she actually chooses to create and choose to have.
Yeah, that's some serious money. And I actually think she's getting paid more than that too. I know I went for a run after I read that and I was like, all right, what would it take for that amount of money and more to show up in my life?
I've heard that she's now worth about $1 billion. I think she just hit for some list that she's now the in business.
I love it.
Who's actually hit billion or something. So it's pretty amazing. So she
it
obviously didn't buy. She didn't buy the point of view that she will only get paid 70% less than men, because how can you do the comparison?
Exactly. But, you know, one of the things that you were mentioning to me, which I like, and this is not about necessarily being a woman in business, it's about getting over the judgment of what it is to be in business, no matter who you are. Like, you were telling me the story about when she first started working at Facebook, and, you know, it's like everyone does these late nights, and it's like, you know, she just got this job. It's like, so the judgment, the point of view, the projection is that you're meant to stay back late, you know. to be working overtime. It's like, you know, running on like coffee and hardly any sleep. And she said the first time that she left at 5 o'clock, it was sort of like overcoming the fear of being judged. And it's like, so how many of us don't choose what we would really like to choose as our life and as our business and the way we would like to work? And it's like, we don't choose that based on the fear of being judged. It's like even, I mean, my partner was saying to me today, because I really like my ducks in a row, very much. Like I like to have everything, you know, I like to have my I's dotted and my T's crossed and know where everything is. And Brendan, my partner, doesn't. And he's fine, and I'm always like, ah, you know. And recently I've noticed that he has started getting his ducks in a row, especially when it comes to financial awareness, which is so much fun when he's got his ducks in a row and financial awareness and then he's aware of everything. But it's interesting because it's like, is it really a fear of being judged too? Or it's like, I mean, is it a fear of being judged and also the places that you have ignored because you thought that something else was going to show up, when in truth, the clarity that shows up, you can make a different choice. Because you can change anything, but you've got to be willing to be aware of it. So it's like, you know, what are you not choosing based on the fear of judgment or based on, you know, not being willing to be totally clear on something?
Yeah, I like that. I think that conversation is huge, though, because, you know, if we are willing to receive the judgment, then it doesn't really matter how, you know, like how Sheryl Sandberg was saying that when she left at 5:30 or 5 o'clock, she knew that everyone would be judging her. And for her, the first day that she had to walk out, she knew that she had to be willing to receive all of the judgment from all of the people. And she said that was the hardest. And then once she made that choice, she knew that, you know, she can leave at 5:30. It was fine. So just willing to receive the judgment. And once you're willing to receive the judgment and take an action to actually do whatever you choose to do and be willing to receive judgment from everyone, everything else is easier. And look at, you know, like Gary often said, if you're willing to receive everything, you can have everything. And I think by willing to receive all the judgment, look at what she's making a year.
Yeah. Well, also, if that goes back to the choosing and chosen, I mean, she's choosing that position. It's not like she's not being chosen to be the CEO and then being directed and owned for what to do. It's like, you know, do you own your work or does your work own you? And it's like, that's when I think people start to use business as a distractor rather than something that I think is incredibly creative. I know you think it's incredibly creative as well. So what if you could use business as something to create?
That's a big thing, isn't
so
it?
So let's talk about it when we go back to... Okay. We're going to head to a break, and then we'll keep people just waited and baited for what you're about to say for the next one. So thanks for joining us.
As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, my name is Monica and I'm the host of Co-Creating Now. Give yourself an opportunity to connect with your all-knowing higher self and manifest joy, love, and peace together every Tuesday, 11 a.m. Eastern.
What if business could be fun? What if business is the adventure of living? What are you choosing? Where do you do business that makes it easier, more fun, or more joyful for you? We'd love to see where you do business. Connect with us on Instagram at Joy of Business or Twitter at Joy of Business. And share your pictures with hashtags Business Done Where and Joy of Business. Let's change the world with business.
Hi, I'm Katrina Kavanagh, host of the I Am Wisdom radio show. I Am Wisdom is about the connection between mind work and energy work, spirituality and living a wonderful life. Looking forward to sharing each Sunday, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with you.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hey everybody, welcome back to The Joy of Business. You're with Simone Millicent and Chitissa Bowman, and we left you with bated breath waiting to hear what Chitissa Bowman was about to say. So go ahead, Chitissa.
No, it was a question, really. I really like what you just said before we went to the break, that the question is, do you own your work, or does your work own you, or do your work own you? It's just like, it's such a big question because, you know, sometimes I'm so excited to get up so early in the morning to do something. Like I'm writing about 3 books at the moment, and I can't wait to get up and do that. So am I owning my work, or the work is owning me? You said, but you really enjoy doing what you're doing. It's just no, it's like a gifting and receiving simultaneously. Hello?
Yeah, no, I think, look, I read something in the, I was Googling you, Chitissa.
You're Googling
and
me.
I was Googling you. And I love the article there that's got a day in the life of. And it's like, I get the energy when it says about 5 a.m., wake up early to catch the last 2 hours of New York Stock Exchange trading period. You know, and it says you're a financial director of the company. And it's like, so, and you've made, I mean, this was years ago, I remember Gary having a conversation with you saying, what if you were the CFO of your life? You know, CFO.
Yes.
And so you started taking, you started playing with it though. And it's like, that's the thing that I noticed. It's like, I mean, it says here, you know, you're responsible for implementing an investing strategy and managing the portfolio trading activities. But I don't see it as this responsibility that has sort of the judgment that goes with it. It's like, when you talk about it, I mean, it's such a play energy. And it's like, to me, that's not being owned by the business. It's not being owned by the stock exchange. It's like, how do I play with this, and how do I create something greater than? Because that's what you're always looking at, is how do we create something greater than?
I think it's just being able to do everything just for the fun of it. And if it's not fun, I don't do it. So in that case, you know, nothing actually on me really from that space, because let's say if I'm doing the job from obligation, then that's something actually owning me. But I don't do anything from obligation. I'm just doing everything just for the fun of it. So to answer that question that I was just posted before, I don't think anything can actually own us if we just choosing to do everything just for the fun of it. But when we are doing the job, like when we go to work 9 to 5 and just to make money from the obligation, then definitely our job on us.
Yeah, and it's like, that's an interesting thing to look at too, the difference between necessity and choice. Because it's like, if you're doing any work based on necessity, it's like, then you'll take the creative aspect, you'll take the future possibilities that are available to you out of it when you're doing it from necessity. When you create, you work, you know, your job, your business, whatever it is, from choice, and it's like, even look at the energy of it, it allows so much more to show up.
And I can hear people saying, oh, well, you can say that because the two of us are running our own business and have more variety of choices than most people, but we created that. You know, we could have buy in of necessity of having to make certain amount of money and have to do the certain things. So I can sense that people say, but I have to work, I have to be going to report to my boss and all these sort of things. It comes from the no choice. So what if there's no such thing as a no choice or something that obligation and necessity to do things, but just if it's not fun, choose something else.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny you're saying that too, because it's like, what could you create different in the workplace? I mean, we've got a personal assistant. I've got staff with Joy Business. We've got staff all over the world with Access Consciousness. And not one person that I work with do I stipulate the hours that they must work. And I mean, it's funny, it's Sunday here at the moment. We are doing a pre-record because at the moment, Chitisa and I are in India. When you listen to this, we're in India, up in Jaipur, at a 7-day event with Access Consciousness. So we had to pre-record this. But one of the things is, like, I mean, I emailed my, or texted my PA this morning, and I was like, hey, can you do this, you know? And she's like, sure, I'll have it there in the afternoon. And it's like, it's Sunday. And it's like, I never think of Sunday as Sunday. And it's like, but we allow everybody that works with us, not for us, with us, to actually choose when they work. And it's like, which makes a much happier workplace.
And that requires you to be a true leader, isn't it? That, like, you're willing to let your people do what they can do best, and you have the trust and honor and respect for all the people to do what they do best, and you hire people for their capacity and their awareness and their ability to deliver. And most people don't have that that leadership capacity like you have. I mean, I often say to you how in awe I am of your, you know, leadership capacity ever since I met you 13 years ago. That's one thing you have. It's so, you know, palpable.
Thanks, Chitisa. I'm in awe of you too. I'm amazed at the amount of books that you write, and they're brilliant books, and you do it with such ease. So is the latest book you wrote, No More Business as Usual, is that the last one?
That's the last one, but I'm working on the book now with Gary and Steve on the benevolent capitalist. You know, what it would take for everyone to become a benevolent capitalist. The book is about getting people to see that no matter who you are, whether you're a single mother or a housewife, you all can become a benevolent capitalist.
So let's give a sneak preview, because I'm going to be doing a show with you and Steve on benevolent capitalism, because you and Steve Bowman, which is your husband, and Gary Douglas, the founder of Access Consciousness, are actually doing a 4-day class in Melbourne, Australia, but it's also live streamed on benevolent capitalism. So, which is going to be a lot of fun. I'm super excited about it. So what's your definition of benevolent capitalism, just so we can give that to the listeners now, give them a taste?
You know, it's about money at all. You know, when I first talk about become a benevolent capitalist, people immediately go into, making money and, you know, share trading and investing and doing all those things. No, it's about to create a sustainable future and sustainable reality for the world. So if everyone choose to be a benevolent capitalist, then we'll make a choice to be to create different world for us and for everyone concerned. So it's a funny term that create a lot of confusion and the question marks in people's universe. They immediately go into, they're talking about how to make more money. That's not what we're talking about at all. It's about how to create a phenomenal world and phenomenon of being. So benevolent capitalist is about phenomenon of being, really, how to use the money and how to use everything to create different possibilities. It's about maximizing possibilities, not about just making money.
Nice. But money can show up as a result of this.
Absolutely. Benevolent capitalists willing to receive money. But benevolent capitalists know how to use money to create different possibilities. Because once you become, exuberant wealth and multi-billionaires, you know, you have to be able to use money to create different possibilities. Otherwise, why do you want to have money? You know, when you have more than you can even spend, what would you do with that money?
You know, it's a really good question. So how important do you think it is that people actually look at what they would choose to do with their money if they are making lots? Like, if that's a target, to make lots of money, or do you think people avoid that so that they don't have to make money?
Well, people wish that they can have a lot of money. And really, when people wishing to have a lot of money, when you look at it and you ask them, why do you wish to have a lot of money? They tend to go right into having a comfortable and secure life, really. They want security and they want comfort. What would it be like if you have the capacity to create obscene amount of money and have the capacity to use that obscene amount of money to create different possibilities to create, you know, sustainable future and reality for the world? That's feel more expensive for me than just create a lot of money just so we can have another car or just traveling or just, you know, buy another outfit or something. I mean, we do all that too. I mean, that's fine. I won't negate the fact that I still enjoy doing that. But if you choose to be benevolent capitalist, you have to be willing to have capacity to generate, you know, money and capacity to generate and create with or without money. I think that's the key message here, that it's about creation, ability to create and generate with or without money. Because people tend to think, oh, I can't create anything at the moment because I don't have money. And if you are a benevolent capitalist, you'd be able to create with or without money, whether you have money or not. And the money will be a byproduct of what you create and generate.
No, I think that's a really good point. Thank you, Chitisa, for bringing that up, because I do get that it's one of those justifications that people use too. It's like, oh, well, if I had X amount of money, then I would be able to create this. I mean, I know a woman who's got some products at the moment and she wants to sell them, and she kept saying, you know, once she has more money and she has an investment, then she'd be able to create it. And I said, how much money do you need to start this? And she looked, and she hadn't even looked at the figures. She had just put this in a place that was sort of impossible because she had decided she'd never get that amount of money. And when she looked at it, she went, oh, I guess I'd need like $1,000, $10,000, I could do this. And I'm like, okay, so now how do you ask for that money to show up? Well, you know, where does that money come from? It's like, what, you know, who have you got to speak to? But it's like, you've got to get clear on what it is that you're after. But that is a, you know, that's great. I love that. Creating with or without money. So it's like not using money or no money as a justification for not doing it.
Absolutely. And I think the key thing that you just said then is you have to have a clarity about what you would like to spend as your life and living, and what contribution you can be as well. It's no point just creating amazing life and living for yourself without being a contribution, you know, to
exactly.
create different possibilities.
So we're
going
to hop off
and
to
me,
a break now, and we'll be coming back really soon. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. This is Angela Levesque, host of Entanglement Radio. Join me Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern for inspiring conversations with visionaries in spiritual science and conscious healing. Entanglement Radio, Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern. Transcendent talk for the conscious mind.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
The Conscious Parenting Radio Show provides inspiration and resources for loving, empowering, and respecting your children and yourself. Join me, Timothy, every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time as we consciously explore proven ways of living together in happiness, health, and harmony.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to The Joy of Business. You're with Simone Millis as your host. And we're joined today with Chitisa Bowman. And the topic is being a woman in business. And the topic has sort of gone all over the place, which is brilliant because that's what it's about. It's not about defining what it is to be in business, defining that you're a man or a woman. It's like, what would you like to create? If you had total choice, which you do, guess what? We're giving it to you today. So everywhere that you've decided you don't have choice, will you just join and create it? Right and wrong, good and bad, yes. Pot all nine, shorts, boys and beyond. The next time you find yourself saying, because you hear it all the time, people go, oh, if I only had choice, or yeah, but I didn't have a choice. Just stop for a moment and have a look at it, because you do have choice. Okay? The only difference between you and a homeless person is choice. We choose absolutely every single thing in our lives. So, Chitisa, welcome back. One of the things
Thank
I wanted
you.
To ask you about is you mentioned before you have like, I don't know, four or five different businesses at the moment. This is in this moment. You work with your husband and you also work with your daughter. And it's like, so tell me, how did it come about working with your husband and how does that work for you?
Well, Steve and I have been working in our own career, totally opposite career. Steve was the CEO in non-profit, many society changing organizations, and I was working with the Fortune 500 company. So at the beginning, we didn't think that it was truly possible for us to really, really work together. And one day we looked at each other and we thought, well, what would it be like if we actually choose to work together? And that's, again, it's a choice to choose to work together, which means that we had to leave both of our jobs and start something totally new and totally different to what we have created, which means that we have to give up all of our income and created something from zero base. So you could imagine what that was like, to do that.
And also the fact of working together. I mean, there's so many points to hear about, husband and wife working together. It's funny because I spend so much time with Brendan, my partner, and there's not very many other couples I know that spend that much time together, and you and Steve do. It's like, wake up, work, travel together, all of it. And it's like, but I know I love it, and I know you guys enjoy it. So what were some of the...
We spent too much time together, actually. We spent 24/7 together. We travel together, and when we're at home, at least we have a lot of space. We can have our own office, but when we're in the hotel room, we're there together all the time. So I think that when I learned to be in allowance, I think that was the key for actually working.
Or you have to learn to get a living room. Most of the time when we travel, we end up getting a hotel room that has, the separate living room. We like to go to bed at different times. So that helps,
Yes,
so what are some of the hints or tools or anything that you can give away for someone looking to do that same thing? Because the one thing I see is both you and Steve don't have an expectation of each other. You actually are grateful for each other. And I think that's a huge step towards creating a business together too.
I think the key thing when people ask us, how do you work together? I think the first thing is you really have to like being with each other. You really, really have to like to spend that much time. Otherwise, it will not work. A lot of time I hear people say, I don't know how you can spend that much time with someone. And I just have to say, I like spending time with him. I like being with him. I mean, it's not always ease and love, life and delight. But at the same time, we just have to be honor and respect the other people's choice to do what they're choosing to do and be in the allowance. That's a huge thing to work with someone, and also to know what my strength is and what Steve's strength actually is, because he loves, talking to people. He enjoys being the face of our business, where I enjoy creating and generating products and doing things that will support the business in different ways. So really have to get the clarity about what it is that you can be a contribution to the business and what you can be, and allow each one of us to do, our best job at doing, and know that we can be a contribution to make a business, you know, successful.
Cool. Thank you. Yeah. No, I see that. I see it works so well for you guys. I remember Steve once said to me that, you know, he goes out and makes the money, and then you double it, you triple it. It's like you go and invest with the money as well. So,
well,
which
that's
is great.
Thanks to Gary Douglas when he said to me, probably how many years ago would that be, Simone? I think you were there about 6 years ago when he said that I have to become a CFO in our life. And before that, even though I was working a senior executive for the Fortune 500, but when I come home and when in our own personal business, I tend to give that financial responsibility to Steve. Obviously, I bought in that, oh, he's a husband, he can take care of the finance. So it was just this model of this contextual reality where most, couples tend to do the husband take care of finance and the woman just, you know, be a nice wife or something. But from that moment on, I became interested in being responsible for our money, and that allow our money to grow, because I take the money and double it,
make more money.
And make more money for us.
So tell me about entering into business with your daughter. What sort of choices did you have to look at, or what awareness did you have to have with that?
You know, the being in business with daughter can be challenging if a mother not being aware of the place that we are functioning from. For me to know that I am her business partner and I am not her mother. And, you know, I have to constantly looking at when we're working together, I have to look at, am I being a mother here, or am I making a choice as a mother, or am I making a choice as a business partner? I have to be in the question a lot more about, always make a choice to be a business partner and never allow being a mother to step in. I mean, for the people who have been, you know, motherhood, will always know that such a fine line in that, you know, to make choice the motherhood tend to step in before, and then you have to be able to step back and say, oh, I'm choosing to be a mother again. And then, for me, the key tools that actually get me going and allow us to work together for 2 years is I destroy and create the relationship with her every day. And that's so important. And when I'm starting to feel like, you know, like the energy of, irritation or something like that, I immediately destroy and create my relationship, my point of view, my anything that I have about what's going on. So the tool of destroy and create, the energy of what creating is the thing that makes us working happily together.
That's a great tool. And there's a couple of things there that you said that I'd like to comment on, because that I love Gary always tells this story about when you originally came to Access Consciousness classes and you came home and it was your anniversary and Steve said, what do you want for your anniversary? And you said, I want to destroy and uncreate our relationship. And he said, you want a divorce? And you're like, no, I want to destroy and uncreate our relationship. So it's a really great tool to use. And it's like, so every morning when you wake up, it's like destroy and uncreate your relationship with your husband, with your wife, with your colleagues, with your employer, with your employees. It's like, you know, whoever it is, you know, in the workplace. Because what happens is you start to create these points of view around someone or around something, which means you expect something, and it's always limiting what can show up. But if you destroy and uncreate your relationship, because the relationship is the distance between two things, if you destroy and uncreate it, then it opens up to these totally new different possibilities. Like, I mean, if Chitita had a point of view that her daughter, you know, only knew about a certain area in the business, then that's all she's ever going to see, because that's the judgment that she has, that her daughter only knows about this piece. But if she destroys and uncreates her relationship with Sheridan, with her daughter, and it's like in everything that she has decided about her, right and wrong, good and bad, pock and pod, all names, shorts, boys and beyonds, and if you can't remember the clearing statement, just say you destroy and uncreate it, pock and pod. And it's like then it allows more possibilities to show up for the other person and more possibilities to show up for you.
And I just like to add that too, Simone, when we're talking about destroy and uncreate, it's about destroy and uncreate all the energy of the expectation, decision, judgment, and everything we have with that person. It's not about, you know, it's not about to say, you know, actually
I will
doing
destroy
anything.
You.
Just destroy. Yeah, exactly.
No, yeah, thank
it's
you.
The energy
it's just destroying,
that's
destroying and uncreating the energy. Yeah, the point of view. Because it's like then you can actually receive someone. And you know what? You allow them to be them, which is one of the greatest gifts. And it's like, I mean, if we want to talk about, you know, this topic was being a woman in business, and what we really got to, and what Chitissa and I would really love to invite you to, is what if it wasn't about being a woman in business? What if it was about being you in business? And what does that look like? And it's like, what would you like to create? If it wasn't about the money, what would you choose? And it's like, if it wasn't about, you know, where you geographically live or anything like that, what would you choose and who would you be? What would you create? And it's like, what if you played with that? So, Chitissa, I would love to thank you so much for joining me today. The time has gone way too quick. I know that I would love to have you on future shows as well, so I will hunt you down for that. And if people can find you, I think you've got a couple of websites. You've got nomorebusinessasusual.com.
Yes.
And on Twitter, you can join up with the Bowmans on Twitter, and it's at the... Bowman.
Twitter is under Chitissa.
Under Chitissa.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so look up Chitissa Bowman, and it's Chutisa Bowman. You can look on our website, and you can, you know, catch this show and her details as well. So thank you so much for joining us here, Chitissa. You're awesome.
Thank you for
I'm
having
so
me,
grateful.
Simone. So much fun. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. See you next time. Thanks for listening to On Times with Joy Business, Simone Millicent and Chitissa Bowman.
Bye.